Hi, I'm Jeanette Archer-Simons. I'm the National Development Director for Health360.
Hi, I'm Carissa Peckrell. I'm the Social Media and Communications Consultant at Health360.
Healthy Minds Alliance is an innovative AmeriCorps program managed by Health360 that engages AmeriCorps members of all ages and backgrounds to meet critical mental health needs in communities served by their host sites. AmeriCorps members serving with the Healthy Minds Alliance receive a stipend during their 10-month service term, and upon completion of their service term, receive an education award which can be used to repay qualified student loans and to pay current educational expenses at eligible institutions of higher education and training programs. If you're interested in becoming an AmeriCorps member or would like information on how your organization could become a host site, please see our show notes for information on how to apply.
Welcome, current, former, future AmeriCorps service members. My name is Michael, and I will be your host for today's Healthy Minds Alliance podcast. And I'm also a currently serving AmeriCorps member. Joining me today is Jeanette Archer-Simons, the National Development Director for Health360. And I also have the pleasure of returning Carissa Peckrell back to the show. Welcome to you both.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
So, Carissa, we spoke just the other night, so nice to see you again. So I want to kind of start with Jeanette, since you're the new one here. If you don't mind, tell me a little bit about yourself. Specifically, I'm asking for things like how you got into service, and then kind of wrapping around to what you currently do with the Health360 organization, please.
Sure. You know, it's interesting. I got started in service as a Girl Scout. And so you give back, you do good deeds, that kind of thing. And was a Girl Scout all through my childhood, but then had the opportunity to go to work for the Girl Scouts as an organization. I think some people don't realize that there's an actual job out there working for organizations and nonprofits. And it felt good to give back and provide service to the Girl Scouts. I was with the Girl Scouts in a leadership role for 18 years and then had the opportunity to work for other nonprofits. So I've done work in mental health, working with homeless organizations, and now I'm the Health360 National Development Director, helping to raise awareness of our projects across the country, which are designed to bring people together with learning experiences so that they can learn about mental health careers.
Fantastic. Well, again, thank you so much for giving me some of your time tonight. I'm very excited to talk to you more about that. Carissa, again, I actually don't know now. This episode may come out before yours, so let's go ahead and have you introduce yourself as well, just in case no one knows who you are yet.
Sure. So I'm Carissa Peckrell. I started with Health360 as a Healthy Minds Alliance service member. In 2019, I taught mental health first aid across the state of Connecticut. I took a job as their program coordinator for the Health Forward program, which is an area health education center in Connecticut. So I was supervising AmeriCorps members, and now I'm here as the social media and communications consultant. So a lot of hats, but I love all of my different roles.
Fantastic. Well, once again, welcome to you both. Now, we're taking a little bit step sideways from the normal format of the show. This is part of our Mental Health Awareness Month. So if anyone's listening doesn't know, May is designated as Mental Health Awareness Month. And then, Carissa, you and I, we talked a little bit last night about self-care and how important that can be, you know, in the trainings that we give through the youth mental health and mental health first aid classes. We often talk about if you're not mentally solid yourself, it's difficult to be there for others. There's that common analogy that we often talk about, like in an airplane, if the masks drop down, you know, the advice is always to put your mask on first before you try to help someone else. But Jeanette, we wanted to talk to you because there is research out there that volunteering is actually an act of self-care, and it can actually be very self-serving to your mental health awareness or mental health, I should say. So you're kind of the expert here. So I'll just give you free rein to educate me, Carissa, and anyone listening on the benefits of volunteering.
Yeah, there's lots of research out there that shows that volunteering helps improve your mental health. I mean, starting with when you go out to volunteer, and it can be little tiny pieces of time, or it can be big projects that you work on. So you don't want to create more stress by volunteering. But when you do volunteer, there's a sense of letting go and letting the stress dissipate because you're doing good work and giving back in the community. And there's something nice about seeing somebody who's grateful for your service getting help. And it could be something like putting cans out for a can drive for the postage that the post department's going to pick up, or helping at a food bank, sorting food, things that help you feel good because you're helping others. I found that when I started out in the Girl Scouts, it was a way for me to gain confidence in my leadership abilities. So, you know, everybody was so grateful to have somebody step up and run a committee. So I learned how to run a committee. And when I had questions, there were all these mentors around, people who'd volunteered, who said, here, we can help you. You can do it this way. Or and so I gained not only confidence about my ability to lead, but also on the skills I had to take to work and to, you know, benefit others. So it's been a real valuable experience for me to volunteer.
It's one of the things I've mentioned several times throughout this series of interviews is that we want people within Health 360 and AmeriCorps to volunteer for service. And that's because being of service is valuable. But there is also some self-serving aspects to it. You know, one, through the AmeriCorps program, you do get a stipend. So there is money coming in. And also, it looks pretty good on a resume. You learn some really cool, valuable stuff. So it's also nice to know that not only do you have those benefits, but it actually can be, you know, helping with your own mental health. Carissa, do you have anything that you would like to add there?
Yeah, I think one of the really cool things about national service in general is the ability for people to make connections in a variety of different sectors. And we know, you know, that connections are good for mental health. One of our simple acts of self-care that we can talk about, you know, a little bit later is the idea of connecting with others, connecting with family, connecting with friends. And so the idea that national service really gives you a platform to start building those connections, both personally and professionally, is a really cool piece of national service.
And I think to follow up on Carissa's comment, you're not alone. I mean, there's other people who are looking to make those connections that maybe want to find purpose. You know, jobs, even employers these days are trying to find ways to connect their employees to opportunities to give service because people want to give back as part of their job, but going after work to do something and finding some purpose with helping somebody is huge. Or working in nonprofits. When I started working for a homeless service organization, I left one night and there was a two-year-old little boy who was standing outside our shelter, and he had his hands on the window of the shelter door, you know, looking in. It was November, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there's a two-year-old, you know, standing outside a homeless shelter. And I had no perspective about what that would look like. Now, his mom was out there with him, but he wanted a warm place to sleep. And I left thinking, I'm so glad he had a place to go. I'm so glad his mom found us. And even though I was working and getting paid to work in homeless services, I knew that little boy was safe because he was going to come into the shelter, have dinner. And the volunteers that served our meals at that shelter every single day got so much joy with just helping somebody have a meal and having a conversation with a homeless person. And so it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, simply ladling some food onto somebody's plate or giving a small child a hug or welcoming somebody into a food pantry. Those little things just make your heart grow larger. And I think finding purpose is a real good reason to volunteer in, and it supports positive mental health.
I used the analogy once before. I don't remember which episode it was, though, about think about your service like if you're a battery. You know, some people might be a AAA, some people might be a C battery, some people might be a car battery. But depending on what you're trying to do, a car battery isn't always better. Sometimes you need a AAA, or you need like three AAAs working together can do a thing that a car battery can't. Now, obviously, we want people to explore AmeriCorps. We want people to think about Health 360 as a way to do national service. But there are lots of ways, both locally and nationally, you can serve. Do you have any advice or resources people should look to if they're thinking about trying to do something local, whether it's a homeless shelter or maybe like a humane society? Like, I'm sure they always need people there. But what are some ways people could find out what options are available to them at both national and local levels, if you know, Jeanette?
There's lots of organizations that you can check their website to see if they've got a volunteer opportunity. So United Way is one. Most of the community foundations, so if you have a community foundation, will have a list of places of volunteer organizations that are looking for help. But also, if you have an interest, if you want to do food pantry work, or you're wondering if the homeless shelter needs work, check their website. Sometimes there's a background screen required. Sometimes, you know, they just can't have folks walking in when you're working with people and expect that they're good people, because even though you want to do a good deed, we have to make sure that people are safe to work with. And so sometimes there's an application that has to be completed. And most nonprofits these days, those are online, so you can do that. And just say what you're interested in. You know, I'd like to work 2 days a week in the soup kitchen, or I'm interested in seeing what I can do to help in the fund development office. I could do filing for somebody if they needed help with that. And so just ask and think about your passion, what makes you feel good and what you're interested in. I find a lot of people volunteer somewhere where they've maybe needed help. So if you've needed help in the past with something in the community and you want to give back, go back to where you had help and see what they have available.
Yeah, I can absolutely see that as a sort of an instigator of wanting to serve, is if you had an opportunity in the past and you received help, or maybe you didn't and you wish you could have, wanting to find that as an avenue. Carissa, do you have any thoughts there about, again, resources people might have available to them?
I just want to echo with, you know, what Jeanette said. I think that the biggest piece is really finding a place where you are passionate about. You know, filing paperwork might not be for everyone, but if it's something you enjoy doing and you don't mind lending a hand to someone who needs the help, you know, that might be a great avenue for you. So it really is about finding that passion and kind of what lights your soul on fire and makes you feel good inside and going with that.
I also was going to say, you can also look at what your neighbors need. I've watched an older neighbor try to struggle to shovel her sidewalk, and now the whole neighborhood sort of pitches in to shovel her sidewalk. And so it's doing little things like that. I have a friend who goes and pets kitty cats at a cat shelter. Now, I think it goes along with they have to change their litter boxes. And so they have a series of people who do litter box changing and pet the kitty cats. But shelters need that kind of help. Make sure that they don't have to hire so many staff, and you can come in and pet animals as part of the service that you're giving. So find something that's local, that's easy to access, and it can be as simple as helping a neighbor picking up groceries or shoveling their sidewalk or mowing their lawn kind of thing.
And if I can just jump in, you know, while I was supervising the AmeriCorps members with the Health Forward program, it was during the height of COVID. So we were serving remotely, and we had come up with a program to do geriatric outreach. And it was a geriatric outreach program to local senior centers. And what we ended up doing was connecting the AmeriCorps members and other students in helping professions or educational paths like nursing, and they talked with the senior citizens on the phone for, maybe even 15 minutes a week. And it was just something that we received so much positive feedback for, because those seniors at the center really were lacking that form of connection during that time. And I actually did supervise an AmeriCorps member who still continues to speak to one of the seniors that she connected with. And so it's so important, I think, you know, not only to seek service where you're manually, maybe you're physically doing something to help someone, but you're also kind of checking in with them and making sure that they're okay, and providing that social piece of connection as well can also be as equally beneficial.
So Jeanette, as someone who this is your career, you know, in working with these various organizations, what is like a piece of advice or maybe something you would offer someone who's thinking about getting into this, either, again, as just like something they do to help around a local community or national service? Just any thoughts, advice, you know, trying to make sure people get into this in the right possible way and they get the most out of it themselves?
I think a lot of it is about finding something that is fun for you. I think it's no different than any other job. What makes you feel good about going to work? And there's pieces of everybody's job that are, you know, not fun. I hate filing, so I would love to have something. Who does filing anymore? Most of it's digital. But I think
right.
You find the fun thing. So finding the joy in seeing somebody placed in a volunteer role, for me, it's finding the resources so that we can pay for the AmeriCorps member stipends to support the AmeriCorps members, but also promoting the good work we're doing so that people know that this is an opportunity for developing an understanding of mental health careers. That gives me happiness when we connect with people. And I think finding the things that you think you have talent at and what gives you joy and bringing that to the table. Again, no job is perfect, but don't get up scared to go to work. Go to look for the ways you can give back in a way that helps you feel good and confident about your work.
Yeah, I know, again, just to very lightly touch back on that whole metaphor about the batteries. You know, I've had the fortune of working for a few corporations in my past life that did also have service, you know, avenues. Like if you did so much of service, they would count it as work time. So that type of thing. But I always just tell people I can carry heavy things like that. That's what I bring to the table when I go to these volunteer events. Is like, I may not know how to do this or the other, but if you tell me to need that means move from there to there, I'm your guy. So no matter what you think you might bring to the party, and it might just be the person who gets coffee. It might just be the person who talks to people to help organize, like, hey, come here. Here's your coffee. Here's what we're trying to do today. You're going to find that if you show up, someone there will find a use for you. I guarantee that.
It can be a greeter that walks around a room and says good morning to everybody in a senior center, or you can drop off thank you notes to teachers at the end of the school year because they've worked really hard. People did a lot of that for nurses during the COVID, which was much, much needed and that kind of thing. But, you know, teachers at the end of the year, just a thank you note. Teachers made a big impression on me when I was growing up. Here's how you're helping our future kind of thing. And I know nobody writes notes much these days, but it can be something really simple, like just a thank you for being a good teacher. And so I think it's finding those little things that you can do and do it with somebody else. Make it a project, you know, have a group of friends get around on Thursday night and make thank you cards and then drop them off at the school and say, we just wanted to say thank you. So now you had a double whammy. You've got friends together, you had tea and coffee, and then you went and delivered thank you notes to teachers.
As someone who works in a school currently as a support staff, yes, teachers work very hard. They are underappreciated, and they would love to get thank you notes. So, Chris, I know we had chatted before we got started recording. You had a few, like some resources you wanted to make sure people were aware of. Feel free here to kind of include that, whatever else you would like to tell people who are listening.
Absolutely. So the National Institute of Mental Health has some wellness toolkits on their website. And I can drop the link, you know, in this podcast for those. But it really just describes ways in which we can take care of our own mental health in the ways of self-care. So we know that service, you know, is good for our mental health. But service can also be taxing at times. And it's important for us to kind of check in with ourselves so that we don't get to a place of burnout. So that's one of the resources. And the other one really is highlighting Mental Health America and the work that they do during Mental Health Awareness Month. So they put out the theme of this month, which is looking around and looking within. And that really describes how the environment can kind of shape the way our mental health is and how it feels to us. And so they have a variety of resources as well through their toolkit that actually aligns really well with Health 360's mission of making sure that we are combating health disparities in underserved communities. And so they talk a lot about health disparities. They talk about how the environment can shape mental health. So I would definitely suggest taking a look at both of those toolkits.
And as always, I'll put links in the show notes for anyone listening to make it easy to find. So circling back to you, Jeanette, now obviously we want to talk about service and how it's valuable both for the people that you serve and for yourself, but you are the director of Health 360. It'd be remiss if we didn't at least touch on that and your role here. Is there anything you'd like to share with people about that role, any initiatives that we're currently working on, any resources or website you'd like for other people to maybe go find that they could help in that mission?
Yeah, I would look at our website. I mean, one thing that you can do is if you want to give back is also do a campaign for an organization. So Health 360 is currently running some donation campaigns and has board members helping to tell their friends about us. For us, it's about raising awareness, but it also can be asking your friends, give $10, give $25 to support mental health and mental health service. You know, writing a little check for something can also feel good. As long as it's not stressful to your budget,
right.
You know, make sure you can give back that way. I think that it's finding the right thing that's meaningful for you. That's the key is connect to something that makes you feel good when you make a donation. And that's a donation of time or your talent, along with your dollars and resources, because you really want it to be important to you when you do it.
Yeah, very much. Thank you so much for that. So Carissa, I'll circle back to you one more time before we get close to wrapping up here. Anything that we want to touch on that I didn't ask a good question for you to say? So just imagine I did ask that question and then say what you wanted to say.
You know, I work full time as a school social worker on top of, you know, this position. And I do this exercise as we were preparing for this podcast. I was thinking about what I do with my kids to kind of promote self-care. And I have this exercise that I do with them where I use a cup and we use a mood meter at the school. So the four basic emotions. And I have them fill the cup with these emotions. So it can be through, I have stuffed animals with, the different colors of the mood meter, marbles, whatever they want to use. And I have them fill the cup and describe kind of when they might be feeling a certain way. And what ends up happening is they keep contributing to the cup over and over and over and over again. And at a certain point, it overflows. And it really is the analogy that, you know, your cup is first and foremost of importance. You know, self-care is not selfish, and it's important to recognize the feelings that you have, then to process them the way that you need to be able to then pour into others' cups. So I think I just wanted to share that because, you know, it is so important that we take care of ourselves either through service or when we realize that maybe we're doing too much and need to take a break.
Yeah, and there is a balance there. You know, we want people who want to help others and help serve. But you, again, we said you have to take care of yourself. And if you take on too much, then you're not going to be as able to help yourself or your own family, you know, that sort of thing. I think you said it last time. And again, this may come out first. What was it you said about there? You have the saying that you say,
if self-care is optional, you cannot be optimal. So that is a saying that we have posted over and over on our social media as a reminder to our followers, but also to our Healthy Minds Alliance members, you know, who put in time and effort every day to serve others, that self-care is not optional. It can't be optional if you want to be the best that you want to be.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing that again. And then Jeanette, same thing. I'm assuming that you knew you were going to be here tonight. So you probably had some thoughts about what you might say, maybe some anecdotes, some resources you wanted to have top of mind. So if there wasn't a question I asked, it was just a great question to get that from you. Just pretend I asked that question now and tell us what you wanted us to know.
Well, I think Carissa reminded me that how important it is to connect with family too. And I think if you have the opportunity to be outside with your family, doing things, you can also do things together. And one of the things I used to tell people is for Thanksgiving, have every family member bring a canned good to Thanksgiving meal. Well, think about what you could do for the 4th of July. You could do that for the 4th of July, or you could take a flower and plant it and leave it on the neighbor's doorstep. You could go clear a trail or pick weeds in a park. I mean, there's little things you can do that get you outside working together as a family. And you know what? I think you love each other more when you're working together. So it's a chance to share the good feeling that comes with doing a good deed.
Fantastic. Well, once again, thank you both so much for your time tonight. You know, again, we want people to explore ways to serve, whether it's with Health 360, AmeriCorps has other, you know, other avenues, but it's important to get out in your local communities, find a way to help. I think it's helpful for you. It will make you feel better about yourself. And ultimately, it's okay to be selfish with your own self-care. So any final thoughts from either of you before we sign off, Carissa?
Just a reminder to our Healthy Minds Alliance members, you know, like Jeanette was saying, it's so, so important to love the people around you. And I think service helps you do that, but to also love yourself. There's a quote by Brené Brown. And it just says, talk to yourself like you would to someone you love. So as you're doing service and as you're completing your service terms, you know, remember that to talk to yourself like someone you love.
That's wonderful to hear. Thank you. And then Jeanette.
I think Carissa said it well. I'd say just recognize that you bring something good to the world. And so take care of yourself and take the opportunity to take care of others.
As we bring this week's episode to a close, I want to once again say thank you to Jeanette and to Carissa for joining me and sharing a little bit about how they are impacting service and just their call to service and how service can be an avenue for self-care for each person's own mental health. And I hope you enjoyed listening this week. I hope you'll join us again next week when we will have another amazing guest on to chat with. As a reminder, if you are interested in becoming a service member or have any questions about serving, or perhaps your organization is interested in becoming a host site, you will find information and links to follow in our show notes.